Right. I want to share with you some thoughts from the story of when Simon goes fishing and what it was like for him when Jesus came and wanted to borrow his boat. And they took out into the shallows, as the story said. And then Jesus said to him, "Well, let's go out deeper, Simon." And which really challenged him, because as you heard from the story, Peter was saying, "Hey, hang on a minute, Jesus. I'm the fisherman here. I've been out all night and have caught nothing. And you're telling me you want me to go out again?" "Yes, Simon. But all right. Well, if you say it, I'll do it." And he was completely awestruck by what Jesus did, how he answered his prayers, as were all the others. I want to share that thought because often God challenges us in our everyday lives, where we think we know all about fishing, or we think we know all about these things, and sooner or later the Lord comes along and challenges us and says, "Really? How about you do this? Will you do that? Oh, I've done that before, Lord. It never worked that time, so it ain't going to work this time. But if you say so, I will do it." I think we're in a season, this church in particular, where you're going to hear the Lord speaking to you and probably asking you to do things that you've done before, but they didn't work before. But this time, God's going to surprise you. And what he's looking for is willing hearts to do what he says, even though you may have done it many times before. The most important thing is learning to do it when God asks us and not when we want to. Because a lot of what we do as Christians, we do it and we hope God will bless it as if he's our servant. When really, truth is, we're his. And our job is to learn to hear his voice and respond to what he's saying to us. The more we read our Bibles, the more we'll get to know him, recognize his voice, understand his ways, so you'll get familiar with him speaking to you. So I want to unpack this just a little more for you. We read in the story in Luke that multitudes pressed Jesus to hear the word of God. Jesus saw two boats on the shore, one of which was Peter's, and asked him, "Can you pull out into the shallows," if you read other versions, "and let me use it. So I want to create space so everybody can hear me." So Jesus obviously said yes. And when he'd finished with the crowds, he turned to Peter and he said to him, "Time to launch into the deep. It's time to go deeper." Now I wonder how Peter would have felt at that. Time to go deeper. That's the first thing I want to bring to your attention. I think we're coming into a time now where God is challenging us to go deeper with him, out of the shallows. Because, to be honest, folks, the shallows is nice, it's comfortable, it's within the depth, you can paddle, you can. But to go out of your depth, that's something else. And I have enough experience in my life to know that if God's going to call us out into the deep, which does scare us, let's be honest, he's going to teach us how to swim first. Because he wants us to be able to cope. And if you can't swim, he can't use you in the deep. He can use you in the shallows, but he can't use you in the deep. But I do sense that there is a move of God happening in our country where God is challenging the church now to go the second mile, to go beyond the familiar, beyond the shallows. But it is in response to hearing the Lord say that to you, not because I'm telling you, all right? It has to be you thinking, "Oh my goodness, this is the Lord. He is calling us to do such and such." So the important thing is knowing that you're hearing the Lord. That's where your confidence is. Then you step out, probably doing what you've done before, but you'll see the difference. And we read in the story that they caught a load of fish, and it's obvious by their responses that they were not expecting that. I wonder how many of you, when you do find yourself stepping out, doing things perhaps you've done before, suddenly God answers your prayers and you're going, I was not expecting that. Oh my goodness, look at this. There's so many people coming to our church now. Can you imagine that? People want to come. They want to hear the word of God. And they're coming. And this church is crowded because it has been crowded in the past. And the galleries have been used here. But can you imagine that happening again? It's exciting on the one hand, but scary on the other. So I'm here today to say we need to be prepared for that to happen again. God is challenging us to go from the shallows out into the deep. And that will mean something different probably for each of you. But it will mean, folks, I want to encourage you to get to know the Lord better. Because he will be your strength, he will be your refuge. And what more can we want? In verse 5 of that reading, you notice Peter was reluctant to stepping out again because he'd done it all night and caught nothing. I reckon he was a bit, shall we be polite here? A bit, oh Lord God, don't you realise what I've been doing? I've done all of this and I've got nothing. And you're telling me to do it again. Do you really know what you're talking about, Jesus? Do you know? I think he must have felt something like that. It's not recorded, but I'm reading between the lines. Because what we do know is, Peter does turn around and say, well, okay, Lord, because it's you, I will do it again. If it was anybody else, no way. Because I'm a fisherman. I know that, you know, there's no fish there because I've been fishing all night. But Jesus said, go again. And he does. And verse 6 tells us that the amount of fish was a huge amount of fish. So much so they couldn't cope with the load of it. Think of people when I say this. Think of people. Because in verse 7 it tells us that they had to ask their partners in the other boat to come and help us with all these fish. I wonder what that might mean all for you. Are you going to be partnering with the Anglican Church just over the way? Because you can't cope with the amount of people that are coming? Are they going to partner with you? So what I'm saying is, don't just think inside your little box. We do, but we've got to learn not to. Because God is bigger than any box you put him in. I always tell my folks back at church that if you want to hang on to a particular doctrine, the best one you can hold on to is this. That whatever you hear about God, whatever you read about God, whatever you experience about God, he will always be bigger and better than that. Okay? That gives you some idea. He will always be bigger and better than that. When God starts to move and the fish start coming in, you're going to need help. And I wonder how that's going to manage. So relationships with other churches, and I know you have them, which is all good. There's also respect there because people do things differently. That's fine. But when God starts bringing the people in, it's going to get, or can get, quite overwhelming, and you will need the help of others. So don't be ashamed of that. So we're not trying to build a denomination here. I know we're under the LBC banner, but really we just want to see churches grow and expand so much that they plant other churches because there's so many people. That's what happened to Oldbury when it first started 10 years ago. going to be 10 years this September. We got so full when Aaron was the minister, not long giving him the keys to everything, and he was there. So in the end of the first year, the church was so full. And I mean full, standing room only, cramming in at the doors. And we're having baptisms every month. Every month. That went on for several years. The amount of people that were coming in. We ended up having to plant 3 churches as a result of that. I'm sure Aaron's told you, so I'm sorry if I'm boring you. But that's the Iranian church, Brazilian church, and the Birmingham church. So, folks, be prepared. It's great that we're praying for revival. It's great that we want God's Spirit to move. It's great that it is great, but there are consequences. If the Lord came here in his glory, most of us would probably be on our knees, like the disciples were, amazed that he would come to us, and me, and you. That he was here, the awareness of you being forgiven, the awareness of perhaps things that need sorting out in your lives, that will happen too. And the rejoicing and the worship will take off. You wouldn't care what people think about you, because God's in the house. I mean, we'll go mad at football matches. Well, some of you might. Or cricket matches or the World Cup. Why don't we go mad when God turns up? I tell you, if he does, you will. So, verse 8 tells us, as fishermen, Peter knew about fishing. But clearly, Jesus knew more than Peter. Even though he was a fisherman all his working life, as far as we know, here is Jesus saying, go and fish there. And he'd been doing it for ages. And then in response to God's word, he receives the answers that blew him away. God doesn't expect you and I to believe that fish are going to come. All he expects you to believe is that you will honour his word when you hear him speaking. That's all he wants you to do. Because when he answers, you will be amazed. And you'll think, I didn't believe that would happen, Lord, if I'm honest. So rest assured, the Lord is in this place and encouraging you that you have a future. You are going to impact this neighbourhood. You are. But your job is to learn through your prayer, particularly. We pray every week as LBC churches, and fast and pray often as well, because we want to see God move. And the more we do that, the more God will start directing you, showing you. Sometimes he'll test you to see if you're ready. Not to condemn you, but to see if you're ready. All tests and trials is where God is saying, okay, you think you're ready? Let's have a look. Oh God, oh no, I wasn't. I thought I wasn't. All tests will show what faith you've got or what faith you need. All right? They will. Don't let the enemy sell you a lie that says you've failed the test, God's finished with you, he's going to use the other church instead. No, no, no. The grace of our God means he loves to get hold of you. You, your life, with all your problems and your hang-ups. He loves to work with you. All he asks is, are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to let him change you in the process? Are you willing to let him use you? And if you're anything like me, you'll go, well, yes, but I'm scared, Lord, if I'm honest. But really, my bottom line is I want to be able to be used. And I know some of you are praying for that, for God to move like that. You may be the first that God will, in which case you will be the first, yes. So when Peter, going back to verse 8, when Peter realized and saw the amazing amount of fish, he says, Jesus, in my version, it says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm sorry that I judged you, Lord. I didn't believe that you would get any fish. I just thought you didn't know what you were talking about. I'm the fisherman. I thought I knew. Oh dear, I don't. And I'm sorry. See, when God starts to move, your hearts will be challenged. Not condemned, but they will be challenged. Because God wants to stretch your faith. So he said to Peter, well, you've been a fisherman after fish. But from now on, because you responded to my word and you've seen the fruit of what I can do, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And I think there's a call here for you as a church. That what God wants to make you as a church, you all have a different part to play as individuals, but as a church, to become fishers of men and women and children. And you're going to see, in time, crowds flock. How quickly that happens will be down to your obedience, your seeking the Lord, etc. But rest assured, when God turns up, healings will start to happen. Deliverances will happen. People will start crying and weeping for joy because they've been forgiven. Or crying out and saying, God, please have mercy on me. If you read the history of all the revivals, I've read quite a few. They all start with God's people, like you and I, starting out feeling scared but willing. And then praying for God to move, work, to change us so that we can cope and have the courage, change us. And then God starts moving and working. And then we're just beside ourselves. Almost to the point we think, God, I didn't think this was possible today. Certainly not in my church or in my life, but here you are. So we're in a time in this country where there's a lot of prayer going up from all denominations, all Christians, asking God to revive his church, to wake us up, help us to go out into the deep, to go deeper, be willing to leave the shallows, whatever that means for us, to rise up. The best is yet to come. Don't look to your past and let that determine your future. Don't think, well, this hasn't happened in my lifetime, so therefore it won't happen in the future. Don't think like that. I think God's going to surprise some of you here in this place. But I have to say this. In the Bible, there are about 1,000 promises of God. All right, there's about 750 in the Old Testament and about 250 in the New, approximately. But in total, there's about 8,000 promises. It's just a lot of them are repeated because God likes to let you know for sure. Most of them are conditional. If you are willing, then I will do da 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 da. But some aren't. I'll give you a clue. One of them is, if you decide to follow Jesus, and I believe you all have, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say, I'll leave you if you sin, or if you get it wrong, or if you mess up. He didn't say that. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're mine. That is a sovereign promise of God. But there are others. Can I give you one? 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. You're probably familiar with this one. Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves like Peter did and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land. What an amazing promise that is. Our land, this country, it's going to pot. Sorry if that conflicts with any of your politics, but it's going to pot. Yeah. We're in so much debt. So much Christian heritage has been eroded because we've made sacrifices for other faiths and other religions, that you can't preach in the streets now without being arrested if someone's offended. But at least we're not like Africa or North Korea or China or Russia, where you'll be in prison just for having a Bible or for even speaking the name of Jesus. We've still got it relatively easy. But let's not be scared. If we want to see this country change, if you want to know for your life to be of value to God, then this is the way forwards. Land is mentioned in the Bible 1,700 times. 1,700 times. And God is saying to us that the impact of your life affects your place of work. It affects where you live. It affects the environment when you go shopping, because you carry the presence of God with you. You can impact the land around you if you're walking with the Lord as you grow more sensitive to Him. And certainly my wife and I have been experiencing more and more of this. And it's exciting, yes, but it's scary on the other, because you just don't know what God's going to do. And I could tell you some stories about that, but I won't just for now. Without vision, stirring our hearts, which I'm hoping to do this morning. Without the vision, the awareness that we need to go deeper, we need to be challenged. Without this, then I fear the church will lose her saltiness. She'll lose her fire, and we'll just become, we'll be trampled on by other men. Churches will close. And I don't want that to happen. I don't care if I get thrown in prison. It's easy to say that standing up here, isn't it? So I hope and pray that for the time comes, I won't. I'll be willing to do that. So I want to say to you, can you hear the Lord calling you this morning? Drawing you, encouraging you that there is more. But that more depends on you seeking the Lord. Praying, being real and honest with Him, saying, Lord, take me deeper. I'm not so sure I'm a good swimmer, but please teach me so my confidence in You will grow and You'll be able to use me more effectively. And finally, help me, Lord, to work as a team, because You're not all evangelists. Are there any evangelists here? Probably not. But you all have got a part to play in caring or praying or sharing your faith with different people or at different times. But in God's book, this is not a fearful thing. This is, you'll gladly want to, we're given the opportunities. But God only expects you to share what you know. He doesn't expect you to share what you don't know. Because I know, getting to know some of you here, and I know quite a few of you think, well, I thought I knew a lot, really, but when it comes to sharing my faith, I'm not sure where you start. And well, how do you get on with it? Oh, that will be for another day. But for now, God only expects you to say, look, all I know is that Jesus is real. All I know is that I am forgiven. Or I also know that you can know that too, but don't ask me to make that happen, because I can't. But I want to see Jesus. People respond to Him in my family, in my street. It's happening slowly. But I'm praying that it will increase. So folks, don't expect to get, or rather, don't get too comfortable in this life. Seek the comfort that God wants to bring in eternal life when you go and be with Him or when He returns. This life, it's risky for us. It is a choice, and you can do that. But You can't worship mammon and God. You can't follow God and be stay in the shallows and be comfortable. I'm not talking salvation here. I'm talking about being real, being practical. If you've got to move, if you want God to move, you've got to learn to recognize him and move with him. And I'm putting to you this morning, you may have to talk about this and pray about this, but I'm putting to you this morning that I sense God is on the move, stirring your hearts to go from the shallows to go deeper. Let me finish with this. Modern conversion brings Jesus into our life to bless us, to make us feel better and fulfill our plans. I grew up with that. That being a Christian makes me feel better and God's going to bless my plans. But I read my Bible and I see a different story. Biblical conversion is Jesus comes into my life to change me, because I need changing, so that I can live better and fulfill his plans. So Jesus has come into my life to change me, and it starts with forgiveness, to change me and encourage me to live better so that I can fulfill or be a part of his plans. God is not my servant, I'm his. My hope and prayer is that you'll be his too. Because you have some promises over this church, over this future. Some of them go back in your history of things that God has said that he wants to do. So he's waiting for the generation that says, now is the time, Lord. Help us to rise.